Good afternoon, guys. It's the Lunch Break Show, and today we are a little behind schedule. We usually do it at 1 p.m., but let's apologize for starting a bit late. So today we are doing F1. We are returning to Bahrain this coming weekend, and of course I have our resident F1. I'd say analyst to break down what has been happening pre-season, how the team lineups look, if Lewis Hamilton will defend his title, and many more interesting things that happened this past break. Yeah, Formula One. So before we start, let's do this. Mpho, welcome back.
Yes, Taban. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me again. I'm very, very happy.
Yeah. We haven't talked in a while, Kaori. Formula One has been on break, I think, since last year. And a lot has been going on. We've seen drivers move from teams. We've seen new faces. Hagiz, looking at the new season that's coming up, we have four new faces. We have Schumacher. Schumacher's back, the small one. And then we have Hatema, the Japanese guy.
Yuki
Tsunoda is back. And then, of course, Alonso Lane is back. And then we have from Haas, Hatema.
Nikita Mazepin.
So we have four new faces. What do they bring individually? Are we going to see any excitement from these four?
With the arrival of Alonso, or the return actually of Alonso, I think that we're going to see a kind of a vibe that we know Alonso to be. He's a two-timed world champion. And him being a world champion means that he has what it takes to bring something new, to bring the competition to F1 again this season. But as for Yuki Tsunoda, is a rookie. Nikita Mazepin is a rookie. Mick Schumacher is a rookie. We are just going to be seeing them, what they can bring in the table, but there's not much expectation from them. It's just to see what they can bring in the new season, and what their capabilities, what their limits, and everything like that. So we cannot look at what they had achieved in their junior categories, but that doesn't really mean that in F1 they're going to do that. Let's look at George Russell, for instance. He was doing very well. He has won. He was a champion in all the categories. But right now, he's still he's one of those who are still behind, or his team is behind. So that doesn't really mean that they're going to be bringing anything that is exciting to F1. So we're just going to be seeing what they will bring. So it's just a litmus paper for all the other ones. But as for Fernando Alonso, we're expecting him to do something, to bring that vibe and to bring that competition. But with the car, with Alpine, it also goes back to the car issue.
I think one thing that we need to zoom in a bit, it's maybe take us through the lineups for this year's teams, and your overall assessment of the individual teams.
Okay. Let us start with the bigger ones, or should we start with the smaller ones?
The bigger ones.
The bigger ones.
Okay, let's start with
Let's start with Ferrari, for instance. We have Charles Leclerc, as well as teaming with Carlos Sainz. Carlos Sainz is new. He has a new teammate. As we all know, Jorge, Sebastian Vettel has gone to Aston Martin. So that personally, I believe that Charles Leclerc is a rare talent to F1. Unfortunately, the car Ferrari has been very not bringing the best car for him to be able to showcase his talent. You could actually see how he managed to perform with the Ferrari last year, despite the challenges that Ferrari had. So I would give it to Charles Leclerc on that case. I've been looking at the fact that even Carlos Sainz, despite the talent that he has, he was outsmarted by a rookie in Lando Norris. Yes. So I would give it to Charles Leclerc. And then we can go to the Mercedes team. Mercedes, we have Lewis Hamilton, an seven-time world champion, not eight. And
Was
then,
it
we have Lewis Hamilton as well as Valtteri Bottas. So honestly, I believe that Lewis Hamilton would want his eight-time world champion, despite him saying it's not his priority. But I believe he would want to make that record again, to have eight champions. So Lewis Hamilton on that case, looking also at the achievement that he has, and because of his the teammate hasn't really been challenging him. And then let's as look at McLaren. McLaren has Lando Norris as well as Daniel Ricciardo. With the maturity and as well as the experience of Daniel Ricciardo, and as the massive talent that I actually see in him, I would actually believe that Dan Ricciardo would beat Lando Norris, because Lando Norris is fairly new to F1. This will be his second or his third season. He started in 2019. This will be actually his third season in Formula One. He still has a lot of things to learn, even from Dan Ricciardo. So I give it to Dan Ricciardo. I also believe that Dan Ricciardo will come with so much intensity. He would want to actually win the championship as well. He will want to challenge the championship. With looking at the fact that McLaren now has a power unit, is using the Mercedes power unit as well. And then we can also
But
look
then,
at Alpine.
before, yeah, before we move to Alpine, Ricardo has been to Red Bull, right?
Yes.
Ricardo was at Red Bull last season in Aliku. Where was he last season?
Renault Alpine.
Renault. Yeah, now he's back. Now he's at McLaren. He's moving around, but yet he hasn't really shown us what he can do. He hasn't really come to the fore and said, yeah, me, he's championship material. Is it the car? Is it him? These
I
movements, it's a
think
hard one, but we can't see anything.
But Ricardo is a very strong driver, very very strong, very very strong. To the level, to me, is the same level with Lewis Hamilton. The issue I think is with the management, his personal management, as well as the management of the teams that he's working for. It seems like there are certain issues, management issues, that they actually do not agree on, and it actually impede on his performance and impede on his stay in a team. He's not stable in teams like you are mentioning. He would go to McLaren, the next week he's in Red Bull, the next season is there. So that on its own also actually affect him, because you have to also take time. Look at Lewis Hamilton, has been with Mercedes since 2014. So he's able to learn for the car also. Like we were saying the other time, for it is not about the driver only, it's also about the people that you work with. It's also about the car that you have. We have to develop the car. So that on its own, it affected him to be. I believe he would have won a championship at one point, but he's moving time and again, it's an issue. So he I think they really need to work on the S management between amongst themselves, so they can sort and make sure that he performs.
Then you are moving to Alpine.
Yes, Alpine, as you already know, maybe for to the viewers, we are not aware. Alpine is Renault. So they had actually changed rebranded to Alpine. So Alpine, the teammates is Fernando Alonso, as well as Esteban Ocon. So personally, I believe it's clear Alonso is the first driver, despite him retaining and finding Ocon at the team. Alonso's experience, Alonso's achievements, and Alonso's talent as well speaks for him. And his records clearly speaks for him. And what even in the testing, pre-testing, the young drivers testing that he partook, you could actually see that he still have that thing that he has to bring to the table this season. So it's very clear, and I actually believe Esteban Ocon needs to he will need to really work on himself, because if he really doesn't perform, chances of him staying in F1 next season might be lower.
Yeah.
And Alonso will actually want to perform as well. He won the championship. We can move to which other constructor can we look at?
Aston Martin.
McLaren. Aston Martin, it has Sebastian Vettel, a four-time world champion. He moved from Ferrari to Aston Martin, and he's also with Lance Stroll. So it's very tricky, to be honest, with Seb. I know Seb is a four-time world champion, and under it's very clear Seb is going to beat Lance Stroll. Lance Stroll is still young, he's still not
Yeah.
that much. But I think it's not clear as we think. Seb is not himself. For the past 2 or 3 years, it's not Seb that we know. And even in the testing period, I wasn't really seeing Sebastian Vettel that used to challenge Lewis Hamilton and used to be getting championship. So personally, I think it's tricky. I think it can go either way
But
between
then looking,
Lance and
yeah. Looking at where Vettel was coming from Ferrari, we know the horrible time that he had to go Ferrari. Now
yeah.
can we confidently say he's at a better team? You know, Jorge, maybe understands him, understands how he operates, and are we going to see a better side of him on a better car?
I personally believe that he in terms of relationship with the management of Aston Martin, definitely he will have a yes. I was actually saying that I believe that with Aston Martin, him returning to Aston Martin simply means that I believe, personally, I believe that he will have a good relationship with the management. Also, looking at the fact that he's also a shareholder with Aston Martin, so he that on the based on that those facts, I personally believe that he will perform far much better.
And then we have a comment from Mr. Mercedes. I know if you can hear me on your side, and Paul. Well, guys, we seem to have lost our guest, but she'll definitely reconnect, and then we can start. Or continue. I think before we welcome her back, for those that watch Formula One, and are followers of the sport, this past week. Netflix released the Drive to Survive series on Formula One, but I think we'll get back to it towards the end of the show. But now let's welcome Mpho, and then we can continue. Mpho, welcome back.
Yes.
Hey, before you left us, Negeri, we had a comment from Mr. Mutsidisi. He was saying, look out for Aston Martin.
But okay, I wanted us for us to, you know what I wanted us to do? We're actually going to take teammates battles and yeah. then we can talk about the constructors. Because for us to talk about the constructors, we have to talk about the pre-testing.
Teammates.
Let us look at facts. Let us look at facts and what we actually saw at the pre-testing. I know the testing doesn't determine what is going to happen during the season, but I don't know what informs him to come to the conclusion of saying Aston Martin. Because pre-testing, Aston Martin should... We don't know much about Aston Martin right now.
Yeah.
We don't know much. It's just the name Aston Martin. It sounds good. Yeah? It sounds like a good car. But are they really going to be giving us that thing that we are expecting? Probably with the... After the 22 technical regulations, maybe we could have that conversation.
Oh, yeah. So we move on to the next team.
Yes. The next team would be, I don't know, maybe you could say the constructor so that could...
let's go to Alpha Tauri.
Alpha Tauri, we have Pierre Gasly, as well as Yuki Tsunoda. This is, I think I like them. Personally, I like Pierre Gasly. I like his character and I love attitude. He's one of the youngest drivers on the grid. And the attitude that he comes with, despite whatever, he has faced a lot of things. You saw me probably on Drive to Survive, the relationship he has with Christian Horner and Marco. And you could actually see the challenges that he actually goes through on a day. Him being demoted from Red Bull to Toro Rosso, which is AlphaTauri now.
Yeah.
It actually affected him. But I believe that in the past season he wasn't under any other pressure because he was demoted and came into Red Bull. But he really performed very well in the 2020 season. Had he made a win at Italy, I think. And Italy, he won his, in Monza, if you recall, he won his maiden win. And right now he's under pressure because he has a rookie in Yuki Tsunoda. If he doesn't perform, it actually doesn't reflect well on his side. So I give it to Pierre Gasly this time around. But Yuki is in the pre-testing, he was really showing that he's not yet to watch people, he's here to perform.
And then moving on to Alfa Romeo, where we have Kimi Raikkonen and is it Giovinazzi?
Giovinazzi,
yeah.
We have a Giovinazzi, yeah. The Jesus, the man with long hair. So we have a Giovinazzi and Kimi. But that is one of, to me, I know F1 community, they actually love Kimi Raikkonen. And personally, it's not my favorite lineup there. And I wish they had given someone, Van Dorn, the seat. I mean, a young driver there, take out Kimi. Kimi in the 2000, during the Michael Schumacher's and Fernando Alonso. That's where we see the Kimi, but Kimi is gone. The old Kimi is gone, and we are not really expecting much from the two of them. It's just, personally, I think they're just there to honor a constructor. I really wanted to see Bob and Donny, a lot of guys who could actually have been given that seat. But anyway, I think I'm not sure between the two of them. I'm not sure. Maybe Mutidisu could actually give us what he expects. I'm not sure because last year, Giovinazzi is not. He's young than Kimi, but there's nothing that I can talk about him that really could say this guy has talent. Maybe it's the car, or maybe it's the management. Like I could talk about Leclerc, what I can talk about Lance, and talk about what really are the challenges that face on Pierre Gasly. But with Giovinazzi, I totally am not sure who will win between the two of them.
Yeah. Speaking of Mr. Mutsidisi, he's saying AlphaTauri are also a promising team this season. They did well during the testing. It's not his team though.
Yeah.
But then one has to question or ask the I think I asked you this question last season, Jorge. Then why do we have guys like Alonso coming back? Why do we have veterans like Bobo Raikkonen still racing, but not giving us the excitement, not giving us that thrill that we'd want to see, or we see usually these young guys, Bobo Gasly, Bobo Ocon. Why are these teams going back to Bobo Raikkonen and Alonso?
That's a tricky question. It's a tricky question. But with Alonso, I can attempt to answer it. Probably I've answered it before. But with Kimi, I agree with you. Kimi hasn't shown Jorge why should he still be in Formula One. And I really don't understand. Even his teammate, personally, like what Haas did last year, taking out Grosjean and Magnussen. That's exactly what I thought Alfa Romeo was doing, because actually they gave Mick Schumacher to test their car. So it was not clear whether Mick was going to be signed by Alfa Romeo or signed by Haas. And Alfa Romeo maintained that they are maintaining Giovinazzi and Kimi Raikkonen for the season, and they didn't really give us reasons for why. But what I know is that Kimi says, I'm going to race as long as I want to race, because racing is who I am, and I still want to race. You know, it's about his personal, as a driver, he still wants to race. But personally, as the F1 community, or personally as myself, because some people still want to see. I feel that seat should have been given to a young driver. For the reasons for Alfa Romeo, I don't know. But as for Fernando Alonso, the return of Alonso was to say that we want someone we want to build our team. We only have the young people in Renault. What we want to do is that we want to build this team, and we need somebody like Alonso. And Alonso said, I want to, because Alonso has been working with the Renault for quite a long time. He retired with Renault, and then he's coming back with Renault, and he won the championship, and they believe that he can still do that. With Alonso, he won the championship. With Renault, they want someone who can build that team. He has been actually working on the side even last year with Daniel, and who was driving for Alpine last year. It was Ricardo and Esteban Ocon. So they believe that with the Jape Ricardo going away, they needed someone with experience. They like to match an experienced driver as well as
a young driver,
a rookie. Yes.
Yeah. And then moving to Haas, we have the return of a Schumacher, and then we have Khatema Mazepin. I don't know how to pronounce
Nikita.
Nikita, yes.
Yeah. Nikita.
So Bonnet, looking at the lineup, I think. We know Mick Schumacher coming back was big news. People are saying, will he live up to his dad's name? Now he's gone to Haas. Are we giving him a chance? Or it's just would be more as usual?
Yes, he is. He is given a chance. You know, the reality is that there's so many guys who actually deserves to get those seats. Yes, with Mick Schumacher, I believe that he deserved it because he's an F2 champion, 2020 F2 champion. But again, with Mick Schumacher, it was because of the legacy of his father for him to get that seat. You can still be an F2 champion and not get a seat. And somebody who is number 5 gets a seat. That's a fact.
Yeah, the politics of the sport.
that's how Formula One is. It's a sport of money. Look at Nikita. There are so many people who could have been in Nikita's space. But Nikita is a billionaire. His parents are actually now sponsors of Haas. So for you to just get into Formula One, it's something. if we're going to say, yeah, we're giving you an opportunity, who do you want to take out? There are only 20 drivers on the field. Who would we take out? Who would want you? Kirahela, honestly, Ferrari, because he's in Jan Ferrari Academy, Kirahela and Mick Schumacher.
Yeah.
Who is he going to take out in the bigger in F1? Charles deserves it more than him. Carlos Sainz deserves it more than him. So it's a very good opportunity. He's something. I think he's very happy. You could actually see, you know, his face, and you could see the excitement for him to come to F1.
And then moving on to, I don't know if it's one of the most disappointing teams. But they have a big legacy behind them, the Williams team. Your guy, George Russell, and then he has Latifi. So Bonne, we know. One would call it Babati, or I don't actually know what's going on with Williams. But if you were to look at history, Bonne. You wouldn't think they are where they are at the current moment. What do you think about this pairing? Yeah, Russell and Latifi.
In terms of who's going to outperform that, or in terms of the car,
even the overall combination, will they work together as a team?
They have been together since how long have they been together? Maybe 2 or 3 seasons. I assume, I'm not really sure, but what I can say, it's obvious the way George Russell is outsmarting Nicholas. I think this one is obvious. Russell is trying that car. Like, I mean, that guy is very professional. He's very, how do I, he's, you know, the person who's type of, who's precise, who's very clean, who's very, you know, who does his things in orderly. That's George Russell. I'm all in F1. So whatever he does, he's trying to make, even if he's given the worst situation, he's trying to make something good out of that situation. You would actually see the, I don't have the records right now, the team battles between the two of them at the end of the 2020 season in terms of points, in terms of him and Nicholas Latifi actually parallel, despite Corey Nicholas will say it's the car is bad, but Russell still puts much effort to it, and I believe Russell deserves it, and I believe he deserves an opportunity to for a much better team.
Are we saying William has the worst car of the entire roster and team?
Yes. I
okay.
For 2020, they were. 2020, they were.
Okay. And then last but not least, I think this is where my guy falls. The Red
For
Bull
2020,
team.
They did. They had the worst. Like I remember one time we were having a discussion in WhatsApp. I was telling you the Williams car is close to more like it's like an F2 car, but competing with F1 cars. Not necessarily that. Maybe I'm over exaggerating.
I think from performance, Bonne, looking at how they performed last year. All the mechanical problems that they were having, I think one would conclude, Jorge, they really didn't have a good car. We seem to have lost Mpo there for a while. I think she'll reconnect, and then we can continue our conversation. For those that watch Formula One and would like to ask a few questions, or if they have any comments, just leave them below. And I think once she reconnects, we'll get to answer those questions, and then we can proceed. So earlier I was talking about how Netflix released the Drive to Survive documentary for the 2020 season. It was quite interesting for those that have watched it. So basically it goes behind the scenes of what happens in Formula One, who's who, what transpires, the battles that usually take place. And usually it's an in-depth documentary of what happens in Formula One. So I think she is connected. You are back.
Yes. I think there was a network issue on my side.
Okay. Yeah. The drivers with the final team. I think this is my favorite team apart from Ferrari, the Red Bull team. We have Perez and then Max.
Why are you loving Red Bull? Is it Max? I suspect you love Max Verstappen.
No, I want to know the reason why
you love Max. The way you're always defending him.
No, I'm not defending Max. So I think I love his character. People say he's arrogant. But I think Max just resonates that energy that I connect with. Max is a go-getter. Max doesn't take nonsense, and for me, I connect with him. But also, he's a good driver.
I'm not sure. Probably about the car.
No. I'll say the same thing about you and Lewis. It's about the car.
We can debate the whole day about that one, because Max is a rookie. It's not necessarily a rookie, but Lewis Hamilton has proven himself so many times. So Max has always been, even his teammates and the management is giving him, you know, that thing compared to
for Max. For Max, I would say it's just a matter of time before he ascends to be an F1 champion. So I think let's give him time, and he'll definitely take it one time. Okay.
Yeah.
Continue.
Yeah, with Max and Checo, personally, I would want to see could I want someone to give Max a competition? The way it's always bad. Looking at the Mercedes, people can just, let's take it to the Mercedes and Red Bull, which are more dominant. Mercedes, Valtteri is always behind Lewis in most of the GPs on the Grand Prix. But with Red Bull, the way it is always like, Albon will be number five and Max will be number one. Kiran, looking at 2020, which you also, myself and yourself. It's really bad. We want to see a competition between drivers, between the teammates. It shouldn't be... The difference shouldn't be bad. Räikkönen and Giovinazzi, you will see what about the teammates, even the way they perform, that driving the same car. McLaren, you will see that Carlos Sainz and Lando, there's not so much difference between, even in terms of performance and achievement. But with Max and his teammates, it's quite, you could actually see whether there's something even behind that we don't know, that is happening behind the scenes. It's very clear. It's very, you know, you don't need to ask any other question. So, but I would want to see Checo giving Max a very tough competition this season. But though Max is going to outperform Checo, still I would want to see some sort of competition between the two of them.
Okay, I think we've exhausted the teams and who to look out for. And then I think we can move on to pre-testing. I know you got to watch some of the teams during pre-season and pre-testing. Maybe you can give us an overall view of what you saw, what happened, and what were your overall conclusions about pre-testing. Can you hear me?
I think I saw Mutidis' comment, which she said, yeah. How did we see Mercedes performing in the pre-testing? It was actually passing through the screen. And I think it's actually coming back to the question of pre-testing, which is one of the most important questions that we need to answer today. Pre-testing data, even the overall data, had shown that Red Bull is doing very good. And probably Red Bull are going to... I cannot if pre-testing was a determiner of how the overall season would be like. It means Red Bull will win the season. It means if the pre-testing was to determine that. Mercedes were actually bad. Very bad in the pre-testing. Lewis Hamilton, who hardly spanned on the second day of the testing, I actually saw it. He spanned a lot of times, and even the third day he spanned. So it was actually, and he actually said that there is a lot of work to be done before they go to Bahrain 2021, which is this weekend. So personally, Khati, the data actually shows that Red Bull is in upper hand by 0.5 seconds ahead of the Mercedes, which is something that has not happened before or last year in the pre-testing. So I think we are going to see a tough season. Gerard, even if it's like that, personally, looking at Lewis Hamilton and seven-time world champion, even if the situation might be like that, it's possible that the Mercedes might not win the constructor. But I believe that Lewis Hamilton will still remain at the top. And with the constructors, I want to believe, and I wish Red Bull wins it. Just to clear the air that, as a Hamilton fan, I'm speaking now as a Hamilton fan. Just to clear the issue that it's not only the car, but it's also the driver who has impact on the driver also has his own contribution, a major contribution in how you, in how the whole.
We seem to have lost him, Paul, there. Mr. Mercedes, I hope your question has been answered. If not, you can drop in on the comment section, and then Paul will get to address it once she connects. So there was a bit of talk or a bit of backlash about some of the comments that were made by Bottas. Are you back, Mpo?
Yes, I am back. You keep on not being there's instability somewhere. I'm not sure.
Okay. We were just saying, Hore, we are shocked that you made this announcement that Hore, you'd want Red Bull to win the constructors. Something that we didn't expect from someone who's a Mercedes fan. Paul? We seem to have lost a bit. So for those that are not familiar with the Bottas and the Lewis Hamilton Rivalry in Super Mario Netflix. Please watch this. I think it's like a minute, and then we'll continue with the show.
Number two.
Bajic was such a sensational wingman.
Well, first of all, wingman hurts.
People say Bajic is your number two driver. Would you say that?
Fuck you. Fuck you. They can't hear your question, right?
They might.
Welcome back. So for those that watched the previous clip, so it was just comment that Toto made during, I think, was it 2019, 2018, where he referred to Bottas as the wingman, Yaha Lewis Hamilton. A lot of people, including Mpo, we've had this conversation before, where we were just talking about how he's being second guessed, how he's not afforded the same opportunities or same resources as Lewis. Mpo, are you back?
Yes, I'm there.
Yes, we're just talking about we're just playing a clip. Yaha Toto Habuaka, how Bottas is the wingman. Yaha Lewis Hamilton. Remember, I had talked to you about it. What I get it. The fact that Toto admitted Hori, Bottas is a wingman says a lot. Even though people may not read into it that much, but the fact that he said "ki wingman" basically means he's second. But eno bile haritwala during the documentary Hori, he wants to be first. He wants to compete. And at times he feels he's not afforded the same opportunities as Lewis.
Mm-hmm. My answer or my thought about, first of all, we should know that this Netflix thing is dramatized. First and I'm not trying to. No. I'm going to be fair. I'm a Lewis fan, but I'm going to be very fair as possible on this on this issue. That's what I wanted to say. Gore, this Netflix thing is they're trying as much as possible. Granted, personally, I also saw with the Grosjean clip. Gore, this thing is drama. And secondly, I would like to mention Gore. Like I said to you. Kone, it's a fact. Valtteri is a second driver. Lewis is a first driver. The same, like you have already noted, he's not afforded the same treatment as his teammate. Those are facts. Just that Mercedes has always had that thing, everybody or the F1 community has always had the assumption that Mercedes is the roses and cherries. Compared to Red Bull and other, where it's very clear where Max is treated far much better than his teammate. But with the Mercedes, they have always given people a sitting impression, which was wrong. Now, personally, I've always seen where Toto takes Lewis seriously. I've watched a lot of YouTube videos between Toto and Lewis. You can actually see where Lewis is treated much better than any of his teammates, even Rosberg, Nico Rosberg, and the other one. So personally, I believe Bottas was being honest, but he was not also not being fair. He was fair also not being fair. In this way, he was actually mentioning team orders. He was saying that he actually wanted to retire, blah blah, team orders. Sometimes Lewis will be told, what are you? Should give Lewis it to this time around, even when he's performing better than Lewis on that particular day. Corey, these issues of teams, they should. Bottas knows very well, or better than any one of us. Corey, these issues of team orders is not it's not just a word. It works reciprocally between the two of you. Or at times, Lewis had to stand for him in the last race in Bahrain. If Russell was going to be in that seat for that day, Bottas would have finished number three in the driver's thing. But Lewis came. Some people were saying, Lewis, why didn't you give Russell? He came to give. He came and worked on his behavior. He finished number three. He would have finished number two on that race. But why did he do that? He wanted Bottas to not to finish number two, and then Max doesn't get that position. That was the whole point. So it works both ways. Though, like I'm saying, I'm admitting the treatment is not the same. But in terms of team orders, not fair, unless it's very extreme. But I don't think it's extreme. Lewis is better than Paul.
We seem to have lost Paul there again. So the Formula One season kicks off this coming weekend, the 28th of March. We are in Bahrain for the first race of the season. It starts at 5 p.m., 5 to 9 p.m. And for those that watch it, some watch it on SuperSport, some watch it on Sky Sports, and all the other broadcasting platforms. So the race is on Sunday. So Friday and Saturday is pre-testing, and then the main race is on Sunday. So I think in conclusion, or coming to the end of the show, we'll wait for Mpo to reconnect so that she give us her predictions for the first race in Bahrain, and then we'd call it a day. So in the meantime, let's wait for Mpo to sign in back, and then we can wrap things up. And then for those that are watching, kindly share your comments on Facebook and YouTube. For those that are watching on YouTube, please share your comments, and we'll be glad to respond to them. When Mpo reconnects, we'll... Yeah. So Mpo, I think the break-in connection, it's a sign that we should maybe wrap things up. Yeah, I think I'd want to understand maybe... maybe it's too early, but I'd want to hear your predictions as to who will win the championship. Is Lewis going for his eighth? Are we seeing Max going for his first? Who's taking it this season?
Championships. My answer would be, for me to be honest and to be make an informed opinion on that one, I would say championships are won on consistency. They are not won by winning a race in Sochi or winning a race in Spa or winning wherever, Portimao. You win a race on consistency. And that's what Max Verstappen actually said. If what he said, and he can actually do it, can learn to be consistent. Yeah, he can actually do it. But personally, I still feel Lewis Hamilton would take it again for the eighth time, unless or otherwise Max does something which is different this time around.
And then the constructors.
And I think Max Verstappen will come second this year.
Okay. And then who's taking the Constructors' Championship?
Red Bull.
you're still sticking to Red Bull.
Yeah, Red Bull.
Okay. And then who should we look out for to that this season? Are we Should we look at Alonso? Gary, he's back. Should we look for Vettel? Gary, he's moved on to a new team. Who should we look out for? That one person.
Somebody in the middle field. Or you mean someone who can actually challenge? I'm not sure if I understand the question.
Someone who would say maybe he's going to show significant improvement. Someone we should watch for the entire season.
Charles.
Leclerc.
Yes. You know,
Team Ferrari.
I can stand on a table even right now, on top of the table, and tell you that Max, Charles Leclerc and Lewis Hamilton are the most talented drivers on the grid at this point. And I was happy to hear Vettel, Sebastian Vettel, a four-time world champion, actually saying this, almost the same thing when he left Ferrari. He said, this is the talent he has never seen in more than 20 years in Charles Leclerc. He was actually not just saying it nice words to him. Charles Leclerc is one of the most, he's Ayrton Senna. He's talented. He has everything. He has speed and he has endurance. He has all those things. Unfortunately, that's why he was signed by Ferrari as early as he was, at his age. So personally, I believe this time around, the problem is that he likes to call himself stupid, and he actually reflects even on the race, because you actually do something that are actually out of place. You would actually, and is this Charles, what is Charles really doing here? You would actually do the same mistake someone was doing just 10 minutes ago and crash on the Palaboya, just like that. And you ask yourself, what is Charles really doing? So that's the problem. That's what I was talking about. Max is talented. And the same challenges that Max is showing are the same thing that Charles is doing. They're not consistent. The next thing, Max will be crashing every day. It's not like I don't like Max. Max is talent. But the problem is he would actually crash the next weekend, crash just like that. But Lewis Hamilton, there's certain things that you wouldn't see from him. He has crashed. He hasn't crashed that much in his lifetime than Max has. Look at Lewis Hamilton has more than around 12 years as an F1 driver. Those guys have 2-3 years. But how many times have Hamilton crashed and the time that Max has crashed? Actually, you could actually see, or what am I talking about? It's actually very disappointing. So that's a consistency. He's very calculative with Hamilton. That's why he's keeping on winning and winning. Sometimes not because he's beyond, or he's just, it's not, it's because he has learned consistency. He has learned to, you know, not, his mistakes are very less, very, very less. Just watch him throughout this season and you realize, and he gets frustrated if he makes mistakes, because he's kind of a perfectionist kind of a guy. So with Max, he's just haphazardly. He drives like whatever. I don't care. Even if he crashes, you blame Lance, you blame Lando, you blame everyone. And that's the problem with him. So
how would Max? I don't know why you don't see eye to eye with
Max. No, personally, I think he can win a championship. He can. But there are certain things, a championship for one on certain things, there are certain things that he needs to learn, and he will do it.
Okay. So Mpo, in closing, we're in Bahrain this weekend, the 28th. Yeah. Give me your 1, 2, 3.
Bahrain is tricky because of the testing. It's very, very, very tricky. To be honest, I'm not sure if I can say the usual Max, Lewis, Max and Martin at the top three this time around. But let me just say Max Verstappen, one.
Number one. Okay.
Yes. For Bahrain. Not generally for Bahrain. Yeah. Max Verstappen. Yes. And then Lewis Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
And then number three, Valtteri, of course. Valtteri performs when Lewis is performing. So if Lewis is not going to perform, you know what, Valtteri is not going to. He's not going to do it. That's how it is. So I would just give it to him course, I put Lewis at second.
Mm-hmm. No, I think we'll, actually we are recording this. We'll come back next week when we do the review, yeah, Bahrain, and see if you got your order right. Max,
yeah,
Max, Lewis, and then Bottas.
That's what so I'm saying. I think it's Bahrain is tricky because that's the start of the season. So if it was like the third Grand Prix, I could actually maybe win it and toss it and win it. But for the start of a season, it's quite tricky.
Okay. I think let's call it a day. We'll talk again next week when we do the review. Yeah, Bahrain. And as always, thank you for joining me. The season is already starting. We're going to have more interactive conversations, and I hope for those that are watching and have a bit of knowledge, F1 can also join in. If you'd want to be part of the show, just talk to us and then we can set up, and then next week we can have a conversation. Or if not next week, the other races that are coming that can be part of. So if you want to join and be part of the conversation, be part of the stream, so do let us know and then we can allow you in.
I think also when you're saying that, I think it's also important for people to actually not get demoralized. Sometimes when you're talking about all those drivers, knowing them by head from number 1 to 20, someone actually says, those guys are asking very tricky questions, I expect or anything. It's not like that. We are here to, you're actually going to give us what you think and what you saw. And it's okay. So don't be demoralized to say, Taban knows PSG, he knows all those things. In terms of soccer, so I cannot join the stream because I don't know much about that. Even if you watched once, it's still something.
Yeah. So it's a platform where we learn and then we get to share conversations or perspectives of other people. The race cutting, so we'd want to see that perspective of another person. So if you want to join, let us know. And then we can definitely hook you up. So this platform allows for us to be 10. So if you'd want to ask, 10 is a big number. We can always slot you in. So Mpo, I think Laila, and then I'll see you next week for the review show.
All right. Thank you once again for having me. I am not an expert. I'm just making my comments on what I know. So probably I wouldn't say things actually on the technical side and everything like that. I just have little knowledge like everybody else. But I just love motorsport. I love Formula One and I really love it with all my heart. I actually talk about it almost all the time. So it's just for the love of the sport. So I actually have my friends joining in and loving it and asking me, I think we really need to watch Formula One. The way you're talking about it, it's actually must be a very beautiful sport. So for anyone who's just watching and don't know Formula One, wow, you should start watching. You're gonna enjoy the sport. Thank you.
All right. We are calling it a day. Paul, thank you for joining us. We'll meet again next week when we do a review the Bahrain Grand Prix. And for those that are watching, thank you guys for joining in. And again, if you'd want to be part of the show, do let us know. And then we can definitely hook you up. So in closing, bye.